Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So today we are going to be talking about all things peak week, reverse diet, all that good stuff. We have our athletes preparing for the Midwestern States Championships on Saturday in St. Louis, and we are knee deep in peak week these days. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start with talking about our peak week philosophy. Chris, would you like to take that topic and kind of explain what our philosophy is on that?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So peak week is nothing super drastic or incredibly crazy. Because we really like to get our athletes prepared for show day a little bit ahead of time, so we're not grinding you into the ground and then throwing you up on stage super tired. So peak week is just meant to kind of like tie up the last little bit of details with your nutrition, making sure your digestion is on point, and bringing down inflammation with the style of training and cardio that we utilize. So it's really just kind of, you put in a lot of that hard work ahead of time. Peak week is meant to help you just kind of dial in those last couple steps and send you right into your show day feeling amazing.
Yeah. I was just talking with one of my athletes today, actually. She was saying, you know, my cardio's tapering down. And I'm like, yeah, you've been overreaching this whole prep. You've been busting it. And yeah. Your legs would look watery if we kept your cardio high all the way to the show and we were doing HIIT cardio or something like that. So we're going to back it down to a low intensity or a steady state cardio and taper it down so that you don't have that inflammation in the legs. And then same thing applies with the waistline. So if you are eliminating artificial sweeteners and things like that, pop, gum, anything that can cause a little bit of inflammation in the gut, you're going to find during peak week that your waistline tightens up a ton by cutting some of those things out. And we try to get even things like gluten and dairy out several weeks before, just so that the gut is, you know, processing whole foods. And some of the food types that we switch to during peak week are just low FODMAP vegetables, so that things are not fermenting in the gut. And we stick to low residue carbohydrates. And it's funny, my dad, well, this part wasn't funny, but he had diverticulitis. So he had part of his colon removed. And he's like, how do you know so much about a low residue diet, Amy? Because I was giving him like a peak week protocol, essentially. So based on the proteins that are easily digestible, like white fish and chicken, were what his doctor recommended. Those are the types of meats and proteins that we utilize because those are going to be easily digested. And same with the carbohydrates. They are low residue, which means low fiber. And basically, they're going to hit the small intestines. So in his case, he had a medical reason why he didn't want things sitting in the large intestines. But for the competitors, we just want things to be optimal. So things like rice cakes, white rice versus brown white rice, which, you know, the week before peak week, brown rice is totally fine. But the husks actually cause, you know, a little bit of fiber in there. We take out things like oatmeal. We switch to cream of rice, just things that are low residue so that we're getting that optimal digestion. Same with the types of vegetables that we utilize. So, you know, the week before you may be having like broccoli, cruciferous vegetables like cauliflower and things like that. But during peak week, you know, we're going to a little bit lower FODMAP items. Is there anything that I missed? Oh, our fats too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. So oils and then like peanut butter. So just like my dad, he could not have seeds, nuts. Those get caught in the little pits in the digestive tract. So we do want a little bit more processed, a little bit easier digestible. So like an MCT oil, if you can handle it, it's really fast digesting. things like that. So yeah, I think that was that the one you were going to think of? And then did you have
that's what I was going to suggest to you. Okay. What about peak week, you know, manipulation? Because I know a lot of people talk about water loading and doing all of that. Like, do you want to explain how we utilize that during peak week?
Yeah. So if anything, you know, we want to keep for sure the sodium 100% what you had been doing. Your kidneys are very smart. They need sodium, and your body needs sodium to survive, for your heart to beat, for, you know, all of those things to regulate. Sodium and potassium need to be present. So we want to make sure that aldosterone, that protective hormone, that will fire up, that will rise and cause you to retain water, and it will have you retain salt. So if you're cutting salt during peak week, aldosterone is going to rise and you're going to look very watery, very squishy. So we want to make sure that water stays high, and even throwing in some electrolyte water, I like to do during peak week, just to make sure. Sometimes when we pull out artificial sweeteners, we do recommend for our athletes, like Anabolic Bridge, which is a pill form of made by First Form that is, it doesn't have any sweeteners. It's a pill. So it's an EAA. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times our BCAAs and our EAAs, they have some electrolytes in those. So I like to incorporate a couple liters of Smart Water, an electrolyte infused water, so that we are sure that our athletes are staying well hydrated. And we even go a step further. You know, on Friday, we're making sure that before they go to bed that they're doing a big water load, because they're going to be having little sips in the morning just to keep their waistline tight. Not because we're like limiting water, but we want it. We don't want them sloshing around with a bunch of water on their stomach during pre-judging. So in order to, it takes about 12 hours for aldosterone to start rising. Definitely within 24 hours, they've shown that it's, you know, there's been lots of studies that show like triples and things like that. But so we want to protect that. So that's why we do a water load at night as well, so that when they go on stage in the morning, that aldosterone isn't rising. Anything else that I missed?
And then training intensity. Would you say that changes at all during peak week? I know you mentioned cardio starts tapering.
Yeah. Why don't you take the training one?
Oh, sure. So I think the same thing about how cardio is meant to help bring down inflammation by, you know, eliminating some HIIT. Training is most of the time either circuit or superset, but it's meant to be lightweight, just to kind of touch the muscles, get your blood moving, but nothing that's supposed to be, a proponent of adding muscle or pushing new PRs or anything like that. It's really a matter of just, you know, continuing your exercise regimen, but bringing down inflammation.
Absolutely. Yes. Very good. So we kind of gone over the philosophy, the science. We want to talk about expectations. I think this is a piece that a lot of coaches kind of miss. And I think that knowing, first of all, the expectation that that's why we put out this podcast, to inform and educate people that, you know, peak week isn't anything crazy. You put in the hard work during your prep, and we got you ready early so that it's not stressful. We reverse engineered your goal so that you're losing at least a quarter of an inch in like your waist, your hips, your upper thigh, or you're losing about an average of a pound a week if you have a weight loss goal. Now it can be totally different if you're trying to build muscle. That's a whole different animal, but then we kind of go by inches and pictures. But at the end of the day, the judges are looking at your physique. They don't know what you weigh. They don't know what your body fat is. So it's that whole package, the symmetry, the conditioning, all of that. But we need to understand that going into the show, that those expectations that we set probably in your first phone call, to be honest, I like to tell people right up from the get-go. And, you know, I know as a judge what it takes to be in the top five. I'm at the national shows. I see what's getting awarded a pro card. I see what's winning overalls at the regional shows with national panel judges. That's a topic for another day, but keep it in mind that they are national panel judges. We know what that look is. And so we're going to set the expectations from the very beginning so that when you get to that peak week, you know, hey, I met this goal. So regardless of what happens on Saturday, whether or not I get that plastic trophy, that tiara, that sash, or that medal, I've done everything that I was supposed to do. And I've checked all those boxes. I've put it all out there. And, you know, you hit that goal that you set with your coach in the beginning. But I don't know if you have a different take on that.
Yeah, I definitely, it's hard because I feel there's so many variables when it comes to shows. And like we talked about before, like who shows up, how the classes are split, and you don't know how you're going to place. And
hey, Chris. Chris, you've cut out. Okay, so we lost her a little bit there. So I think she was trying to say that with these shows, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, you totally cut out. But I think what you're trying to say is that at the end of the day, you've got to be proud of what you bring because you could be at a big show with tons of talent and place almost in the last call out. And then you can be at a really small show and get first place. But it's like, you know, but go ahead.
Exactly.
We can hear you now. So.
Oh, good. No, sorry.
I think.
You read my mind. I'm just going to send you telepathic messages if that happens again. I just reiterating what you were saying. It's like going into the show with the don't necessarily have the expectation of like, you know, I'm going to come out on top, but more of the expectation of like, I have given it everything that I have and I'm proud of how far I've come. I think that's when it really comes down to beating your last physique. So it's you against you. And I know we say this over and over again, but I mean, every, you know, show you go into, every prep you do, every reverse, it's all leading you down a path of like continual improvement. That's the point of bodybuilding. So I think going in, knowing that you have succeeded and you've done well, that you're proud of yourself, that attitude shows up on stage and will give you the best experience. And, you know, it will eliminate like feeling huge disappointments if it didn't go the way you wanted to. And if anything, if you place better than you thought, then it's just exciting. So I think your mentality going in is important as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we could, this year, if you're top five, you get nationally qualified. And let's say, you know, you come into the show thinking like, oh, I'm going to play first and you place fifth. Well, that's still a national qualification, you know, and if it was a big show. So that would take away almost if you go into the show with expectation, like I'm going to win first place and you get fifth, then you're disappointed. But actually, like you achieved the goal. If you would have just recalibrated it and said, you know, my goal is to get nationally qualified at this. Again, you can't predict those things. I remember back to one of our first conversations when you're like, I want to get first place. And I was like, you know, I can prepare you for that. And you did get first place, but I mean, it's not like one of those things where you can just say, okay, yes. Like, even when you were going to get your pro card, I mean, both my daughter and I were like, she's a pro. We knew you were a pro. You're a pro caliber. And so even if you didn't win it at that show, I knew that you were at that level. You know, we trained you for that level. I trained you to be first place. So, you know, it's one of those things like you just don't know who's going to come to the show.
Exactly.
I heard a pro talking on another podcast. I think it was Bikini Diaries. She was getting interviewed and she was so disappointed that she got second place at the show. And then she realized that the girl that she had lost to that got first, she had won. So I actually interviewed the girl that had beaten her. Her name was Marissa. She won the Olympia amateur. She got second place or third place, I think. She actually did that Tahoe show with you, but I just thought, okay, like she was ready to quit and give up because she had gotten second place. And I mean, that same year she ended up turning pro. And just think if she, wouldn't have readjusted her expectations, like, oh, okay, well, the girl that beat me, like, literally won her pro card at, one of the most difficult places to win a pro card. So I don't know if I'm babbling there, but just kind of think about those things.
And you always say, like, low expectation. I'm going into
So, Chris, I can't really hear you. Are you?
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes, so much better.
Oh, sorry about that. My phone must be crazy. It's
Yeah.
peaky crazy. But yeah, so I was just mentioning that when I went into both my national shows, I had low expectation because and I was just happy with being able to step on a national stage. So like looking at the accomplishments you make along the way can really help reframe your experience when you do step up on stage.
Yeah, and I know I've talked about my favorite book by Jack Canfield, The Success Principles, but he really is a big believer in high work and basically like a lower level expectation, because it's kind of like my philosophy in business where you want to under promise and over deliver. You want to make sure that you're doing everything you possibly can, and that everything you're supposed to do, and then the outcome will just be, it should just be a surprise. Like there shouldn't be an emotion ta attached to whatever that outcome is going to be, because then that takes away from the journey that you took to get there,
Yeah,
and
it'll be what it's meant to be.
you're letting a judge just decide, like, okay, well, your hard work wasn't what it should be because I'm placing you in this spot. And no one
Right.
should be able to
Well
do that
said.
to you. So, all right, so let's get into reverse philosophy.
Want me to take that one?
Sure.
Okay, so reverse philosophy is basically taking your show day and bringing you into a place where you can maximize recovery the week post show. There's a lot of stress that goes into, or maybe not a lot of stress, but it can be a lot of anxiety. It can be an emotional roller coaster. It can be a lot on your physique for a competition. So really making sure that we take the next week to, have your moderate your workout so that you are not overreaching, but you're maximizing recovery. And then same thing with your cardio, and then really having your nutrition emphasize, more better recovery as well, and just fueling you from coming off of your peak. Did I explain that okay?
Absolutely. Yes. And we could hear you, which is good.
Okay, good.
Yes. So on the reverse diet, we like to get people right into maintenance calories because we've already put you in a deficit for a long extended period of time. We do not want to lengthen that time, because every week that you're in a deficit, that's an additional week of recovery that you have to do because you've had some adaptations occur. So
Yes.
we're trying to pull you out of those adaptations and bring you up to maintenance calories. First of all, for me, I like to increase protein just slightly, not so much that we're taxing the kidneys or the liver. Maybe just like a 1.1 factor of their body weight,
Yes.
just a little bit more, because protein is going to be satiating and it's going to help you when. So when you're so lean, leptin, your satiety hormone, is very low. It's not getting released. It gets released out of fat cells. Ghrelin is your hunger hormone. That's super high. Your body's trying to gain back body fat because a human's not supposed to be like super muscular and super lean. That's not a good survival setting on our pre-programmed bodies. So you're going to have those things working against you. So you're not going to have hunger cues that are normal. And I would suggest for anyone that's post-show is to avoid sugar if you can. I know I've done it, but I will tell you that that's one thing that really triggers a downward spiral just because of the nature of if you've been eating super clean foods, it can really mess things up with like mood, cravings, and appetite even more so than it already is. So come up on reverse dieting with guns blazing and make sure that, I mean, I always tell people they can kind of just have vegetables as a free food too, because they're so fibrous and they'll give you a little bit more volume. So think of volume, think of whole foods so that digestion slowed down. Things don't just process right through you and then you're already feeling super hungry as it is. Any other thoughts with the food part of that reverse?
No, you explained that perfectly. That was really good.
Thanks. All right. Yeah. We'll go into deload then. So obviously after the show, you have overreached quite a bit. So we want you to make sure that you're deloading, and then we're going to be slowly tapering off your baseline cardio. So the week prior to peak week, we're going to start slowly pulling that back. And then you're going to be super sore. You're going to kind of feel like you got hit by a truck. The posing and all of that kind of puts a toll on your body, I think. So I feel like the week after a show should still be like a list or a steady state. And then if you want to get into HIIT once your body's like fully recovered after, so you're basically taking like a 2 week deload because you're deloading during peak week. And then you're doing kind of the same thing the week after for recovery purposes, essentially. And so the long-term goal is to, you know, add back in calories and then lower cardio over time. And it's so context dependent on that one, that I don't really want to go into the specifics of like how much fat or how much carbs we add, because it's so specific to that person of like, where was their deficit and what do they need and how are their check-ins going? But if I can give you any advice, is just make sure you check in with your coach every single week. If you're one of our athletes, make sure you honor your phone call with your coach, because it's going to be hard. I think it's way more difficult than the actual prep.
Yes, so. I would agree. Yeah, and I definitely think that connection with somebody that can help you navigate that season is a really good place. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that as well.
Yeah, I always have the red flags when people have like a laundry list of the foods they want to eat, or they've been hoarding like a bunch of snacks and they're bringing them to the show, or they bring like a huge dessert and they're like, oh, I'm going to share it with everybody. It's like, those are just things. Just go out for a fun, nice meal. You know, you're going to be tired and everything after the show. Get hydrated. Have, you know, a good, well-rounded meal that you enjoy. Maybe that you didn't have on prep that night to celebrate. And then try your best to really get back into your reverse. And hopefully you have a next step goal. I think that's the key. I always talk with my athletes about, like, their next step goals. I give them the reverse before the show comes, because it's important that we have the next plan in place, because when those chains are off, it's really hard. Mentally.
Yeah. I definitely think having a plan of action is essential to having success. So yeah, I think it's good to prepare athletes ahead of time.
Yeah. Okay. And then did you want to talk about any of the dangers of any of these things, or are we kind of good on that?
Well, I think we should also talk about expectations and the improvement or the reverse.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you talked about what to expect as far as like, you know, adding sugar in, but I think also it gets difficult when you see your physique change every week and you have, you know, the focus on your show and then measuring success post show. If you're going into like a longer reverse and you don't have a next show coming up, you're in it for the goal of adding on some muscle tissue. I think some people expect to put on like a bunch of weight because you need a bulk to put muscle on, or some people like try and stay relatively lean and watch scale almost too closely because they're really trying to not overdo it or rebound. What kind of forms of measurements, I mean, I think Like, how would you measure a client in the reverse season best? Like, how do you go about that with your people?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is to focus on different goals in the improvement season. So performance in the gym and
Yeah.
focusing on, you're fueling your body now to actually perform better when you're not in a deficit. So enjoy that part of it and really get into, focusing on what types of weight you can move, how you can, you're going to have a little bit more time to do like recovery work and things like that. But I think too, we have to remember that even if we gain weight or, we have to look at the wins as far as like how much more carbs are we eating or how much less cardio are we doing? Things like that. I think it's hard to look at the scale so much because that can be defeating, but thinking more performance-based goals and maybe like celebrating that you have more time with your family or you can go out for your refeed meal with your friends and like have a pretty healthy refeed and enjoy that. So just different frames of mind of things to get excited about, I think would be a good way to approach that mentally.
Yeah, I think that's really great because it's changing your mentality from like one focus and looking at it as a different season. Like, I think that's the one thing that I had to do, like post show, I knew that my weight was gonna increase and I knew that my measurements were gonna increase, but my brain was still so set in seeing success in those numbers. So I had to like put the focus on something else. And then I also had to remind myself, like, when I am in improvement season, enjoy improvement season because this is now your time to have like a bigger calorie budget and yeah, to be able to have a little bit more flexibility without having to modify so much. And to like, yeah, see what you can do in the performance end of things in the gym. So, I think you're right about it. It's like not seeing your physique as the, like as it's changing and being gracious with yourself and not seeing it as like, okay, well, if I don't look stage lean, then I'm failing. It's more or less like you need that variation in your season to have a better stage look. So yeah, long-term thinking is what I try and encourage people to do.
Yeah, and just take the judges' feedback, or if your coach is there, their feedback's very valuable too. And just take those things in mind that you want to work on and use that as a learning lesson and, apply your growth in those areas as the wins that you're creating,
Yes.
So I'm a big believer in not doing the same thing and expecting a different result. If you get feedback that something needs to grow, then we need to be eventually in a surplus to do that. And, we're going to have to do things differently. So like strategically working with your coach to come up with a plan to formulate like how to grow those lagging parts and things like that are all great things to focus on, I think.
And it can be fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's, I mean, that's why we got into this, right? Because we enjoy the
Great.
gym. We now have
Yep,
energy and fuel. And a
exactly.
girl loves to eat, so.
Amen.
The last thing I wanted to say before we wrap things up is that I appreciate so much everybody that came to the posing seminar on Sunday. It was a huge success, and we really appreciate Angel Competition Bikinis here local. Their posing studio is awesome. We also did a team HIIT training for the first time at Lifetime Fitness immediately following the seminar, and that was a really good time. We had Fast and Fit Mike. He put us through a workout, and I just thought it was a really good time to bring community together. So we're definitely always looking to do things like that where we can kind of create culture. And hopefully some of you were able to join us online for the posing. I know a couple of people long distance said they were posing right along with us. So that's really great. That's why we do these things and why we offer them for free, because we just really want to give back to the community in the bodybuilding world that has done so much for us. And so at the show on Saturday, if you are there, we have a booth. So come by and visit. Elizabeth will be there. She'll have a QRL code that you can enter for some drawings that we're going to be giving away, some unicorn swag. So be sure to find her in the booth section of that show. And you can find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. And you can apply for the team at glamgirlbikini.com by hitting the Get Started button. And we will be sure to set up a phone consultation from there. So this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger. I can't say my own name. Signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, always cutting out. Call always cutting out. Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.
She finished strong. That's all that matters.